You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Having a part two of our episode. We are talking Real Housewives scams. And guys, if there's any Real Housewives scam you're crazy about, please let us know. Message us, call into the Hot Tip Hotline.
For sure.
We know these ladies have been messing shit up for years. We actually just got one in. Caitlin texted me on her way over here.
Yeah, it's breaking news.
Breaking news.
And I didn't even have a chance to look fully at the whole story. Mm-hmm. But Peter Thomas of Real Housewives of Atlanta, former husband of Cynthia Bailey, was arrested for fraud in Miami.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly for what.
He was arrested for writing bad checks.
Oh.
So like, yeah.
His businesses have always seemed a little funky to me. He always owns those bars, but they don't seem...
And the show like isn't hiding it too. Like the editors are like, isn't this guy weird? Like we don't trust it. Like it wasn't ever made sort of like under the table. It was very much a part of it. Like Cynthia's with a shady guy.
Yeah.
And then he is.
And he wanted to be on the show. He is one that loves that camera.
And he also like, I remember like he would be like, like he would just like get in business and get in shit and like be gossipy. And it was like, could you, it's like a not a good look on you, sir.
No.
And but she always supported him too. Like she financed his first restaurant or club or
again,
whatever.
Again, a woman who's ignoring the facts because of love.
And then he wanted to start the second bar restaurant in Charlotte, North Carolina, so that he had to be away from her.
Yeah.
And then he was just like cheating. I mean, he sucks.
Yes, he really, really sucks.
He does.
But also like was friends with Nene, like is like a smooth talker. I don't know.
I did not enjoy him. I hope he goes to prison.
Okay.
Cool. So I'm going to move coast and keep us in this Housewife franchise.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to the beginning to Real Housewives of Orange County.
Okay. I don't really watch it. I don't know that much. So I'm the novice here.
Oh, I got it.
Orange County... to me, is a favorite. People poo-poo it. It's a slow burn.
It is.
You do have to watch it all. You could never jump in because it won't be worth it. But there are things that happen.
That's how I felt. I've been like, ugh, I'm not involved.
And
yet.
It's hard to go back because seasons like 1 and 2 are almost cut differently than any other Real Housewives.
Absolutely.
Like they didn't quite know what it was.
It was the first one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was the first one. So it debuts in 2006, a long time ago now, guys. And it was. It was based
when
off the popularity.
And I met.
Yeah, basically. We're meeting.
Yeah, we're meeting Real Housewives of Story.
Vicky and Lori are meeting.
Wow.
So, it's basically Real Housewives was supposed to be like Desperate Housewives and the OC, like kind of combined reality show. And it was specifically about people that live behind gates. Like that was the thing.
A gated community.
Which got dropped pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, one of the housewives we meet is Vicky. Vicky Gunvalson, who to me is like everything a housewife does need to be in that she has huge bravado, but also completely insecure. mm-hmm. both at the same time.
Yes.
She sells insurance, which is a weird Real Housewife job.
That is weird. It's not a cookbook. It's not makeup.
No, and she's never fully successfully launched anything else. And she still owns her insurance companies. It does seem to be growing exponentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she loves it, but she also like has always felt, you can tell, jealousy or weird about the ones that are more truly rich housewives. Mm. Like she feels mm-hmm.
that,
insecure.
That haven't had to work for it like she has.
Yes, and she kind of talks bad about them, but you can tell she's kind of jealous of mm-hmm. it too.
Like a popular girl at the party.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we meet her. She's married to Don Gunvalson, and this is Don with two N's, and that's just seems no. extremely important to me.
I didn't know that about Don.
That feels really important to me.
Yeah, I see it now.
But
now
Don,
like, oh.
But Don is a great character. He's lovely.
He's great.
Think, yeah.
I love Don. And when we meet him, he's been laid off. He was like a VP at some company and he'd been laid off. And she's kind of like, he's been laid off. Like she's very quick to like
put
him down about that.
She, I think, believes in very traditional gender roles as well.
It's crazy. She does.
Yeah.
It's like she wants to be up the corporate ladder, but then she wants her boyfriend or husband to be that much more. It's just very weird.
Yeah.
So she's obsessed with this insurance company and she's not really obsessed with Don. She famously says, "My love tank is empty" at one point.
Mm-hmm. Then this is season one.
This is early. Season one, two, or three.
Yeah.
And then and those very early ones of OC, they weren't full like 20 episodes. They were like 8 or something. Mm-hmm.
Just a teaser.
So then, though, they go to Turks and Caicos and they renew their vows. And she says her love tank is full.
Yes. Oh,
callback. But then, once again,
and as we know,
it's the curse of all the
as
vow
we know,
renewals.
A vow yes. renewal is the kiss of death.
It's death.
They do get divorced in 2014. So they have many seasons together on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Where she doesn't like him, and this is why I say it's a slow burn. At the end of season 5. Vicky's been obsessed with Gretchen Rossi potentially cheating on her now dead fiance.
Yes.
But then she just very quickly is like, yeah, and I've cheated on Don and Don's cheated on me. Like, that's what? The slow burn of it is it's like 5 seasons of being like pointing the finger and then being like, oh, and also I did it.
Like, it's yes.
just, it's just so crazy. Oh
my so God. She's obsessed with claiming that someone else has cheated on her dying fiance.
Yes.
And she
and she and Don were both cheating on each other.
That might not be like a great relationship.
So then they get divorced, shocker. And she starts dating the man that we will focus our story on here, Brooks Ayers, which is the hardest Ooh. Name to say, Brooks Ayers.
Ayers.
He is not liked by her best friend
Anyone.
From Real Housewives, Tamara, yeah. or her child, Brianna, is like honestly probably the queen of the housewife children. Like she mm-hmm. gets her own interviews.
Oh.
Like her story becomes a big part of it. And Brianna yep. hates Brooks. Mm-hmm. They don't like him generally because he's disgusting. Like he's just kind of oozes, I would
he's
say.
Crazy.
He's
a
greasy person.
Creep. Yeah.
He's been accused of by them of things such, I mean, some of it's just like he's using you for your money. And it's like, well, hard to say. Brianna claims, and this is a huge allegation, that Brooks told Brian, Brianna's husband, that he should hit Brianna like when she's
what?
Like acting up. So that's bad to say
wow.
the
that's
least.
That's horrible.
Both coasts, very aggressive males.
Yes. yes. So that is not a scam. That is just bad behavior.
Yeah.
But we are getting into the scam. So this is season 10 of
wow.
Real House. Oh, they're already on 15. So this is way back.
Yeah.
This is an emotional season. This is also the season where Vicky finds out on the phone that her mom has died when she's at one of those dumb
right.
housewives parties.
Yeah.
And it's
oh my God.
So emotional. And she's like on the floor. It's so real and crazy. Yeah.
I gotta watch this season.
But what also happens is Brooks, well, it's so interesting. I watched all this. I've probably seen all the episodes twice, but now to go back and research it, I'm like, what did happen?
Yeah.
And who was right?
Yeah.
Because, well, huh. Brooks is never right, but he is diagnosed with cancer. Let's take that as
by a doctor.
True.
We're taking that as true?
Just for the purposes
for
of telling
the
story.
For now.
Yeah, okay. We're not taking it as true completely.
Okay.
But this is what we understand to be true, is that he has lymphoma. And it seems like on the show, Vicky wants to use this for everyone to like Brooks now.
And to feel yeah. pity for him, like
yeah.
he's a victim,
yes.
let's all focus and rally around him.
Right. And his claim, Well, I'll just say what her trajectory is. Yeah, she wants a lot of sympathy. She says many times she wants casseroles.
Yeah, she does say that. She wants her neighbors to bring her casseroles.
She should get casseroles because Brooks has cancer.
That is like an old-timey old lady thing. Like using the specific gender roles, like 1950s.
And she's from the Midwest, as am I. Yeah. We love layers of food. Yeah. And that part makes sense, but it's just so clear. There's a gleam in her eye that this is a way forward for them as a couple on the show and for her to get attention from the other women.
Right.
It doesn't really make Tamara or Brianna hate Brooks any less, because if he did, in fact, say that, you know, a woman should be hit, this is regardless of the cancer. Yeah. So they're kind of suspicious of it and starts to take little things. Actually, when I was looking back, don't seem that weird. Like, he would say things like, I did have cancer. And they'd be like, did? You mean do? And like, interrogating his tenses, which I was sort of like, you know, but the truth is he never looked like he claimed to be going through chemotherapy.
Yeah.
He never looked, and people have a lot of different reactions to chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Also, you can have like a surgery to remove the cancer and then start chemotherapy.
Yes.
And you can have like, my friend just had to deal with radiation.
Yes. There's all kinds of ways. I'd be slow to point this out. However, the women on the show are very quick to point it out.
Oh my God. If someone said they had cancer, I believe that they have cancer, because you don't want to be that guy.
Yes. That said, he was diagnosed with stage 3 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is exactly what my father had when I was in high school. So I do know kind of exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's a serious one.
People react differently, though. So my dad lost all his hair and like had to stop working for 6 months. Brooks is just going on with his life. He doesn't lose any hair. His body changes in no way.
No way.
So they're all like, huh, okay. So cool. What's going on? So then enter a newer, younger housewife named Megan King Edmonds.
Yes.
Megan King Edmonds is a lot. She's a lot of things to a lot of people. She's like probably late 30s now, was early 30s at the time. She's married to a guy who's, I guess, probably late 50s now, was early 50s then. He's like a former baseball star.
Mm-hmm. I think.
This is his third wife. He has 2 kids with each wife. Now he has 3 kids with Megan King Edmonds.
Mm-hmm. Three?
But... yeah, and they had
twins.
Yeah, they had a girl and then they had 2 boys.
And he Hart had had a wait, what? What are they?
Hart and they both have H names, the twins, but it's Hart and something else.
Hearth or something.
Yeah.
Oh no, I follow her on Instagram. That's how I know this. And she was a model, right?
She definitely is like tall, skinny.
I thought she was a model.
But he very adamantly did not want kids, and she made him have a vasectomy reversal.
Right. And he is pretty mean to her also. I think tells her to shut up. And a weird thing, his first ex-wife, the mother of his 2 oldest children at this time, is dying of cancer.
That's right.
Which is horrible. And somehow Megan thinks is like her thing.
Megan is searching for a storyline her entire duration.
So she is very into cancer because her husband's ex-wife has cancer.
You get into cancer, you just get into
it. It was like her thing. It was like an interest. It was like getting into astrology for her.
We all, as 17-year-olds, just decided to get into photography, cancer, horses,
painting. So this is truly the weirdest part.
Yeah.
Megan claims that she gets suspicious about Brooks' cancer because Vicky doesn't want to share a lot with her about it, which is like...
because she could help her through it or something.
Funny.
Like, I'm so good and compassionate. Yeah. We should connect.
It's like, I'm your acquaintance. I think you should tell me about your boyfriend's cancer.
Because I know about my husband's ex-wife's cancer.
Yeah. And it's just truly... it's so funny looking back in the story. The people that turn out to be correct or right, it's so by accident because they were following the worst mental leads in the world.
I love that.
So... she gets into investigating whether or not he really has
Megan
cancer.
Does this?
Yes. Yes.
She's the researcher?
Megan has nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So they all get on Vicky. They're like, does he really have cancer? Can you imagine saying this to someone? Like,
no, I could never say that.
No.
It's crazy. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, here's the PET scans, just so you know. So Brooks gives Vicky PET scans to show them. Like, they want to see medical documents.
Yep.
She shows them. Megan is not... I should say, the reason that they've gotten the courage to confront her is because they met with a psychic.
Yes, that's
and
right.
That's how they got the courage.
And the psychic said to me the most famous quote, most important quote in Real Housewives history, which is, the psychic says, Brooks doesn't have cancer. So they tell Vicky that, and Vicky goes, well, maybe that means he's in remission. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank God.
And she's, they were like, no, we want scans. Go to your mychart.com and print stuff for us.
Yeah.
So
I would never, even if I was on a TV show, I don't think I'd have that audacity. I wrote a book about preventing cancer. I don't think I could even ask. I wouldn't ask anybody.
No.
I'd be like, sure.
No.
Sure.
Because what do you, there's nothing to gain.
There's nothing for me to gain. Yeah.
It's around this time, we have like every franchise like is having a health scare that people are questioning. So this is around Yolanda Hadid with Lyme disease too,
right? Yeah. And yes, and Rena saying she had Munchausen's.
Yeah, and it's just like, I would never. If someone has Lyme disease, they have Lyme disease. Great, not great.
Also,
but
I'm not
going to
research it. I'm doing other things.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you're Megan King Edmonds and you're
so
doing nothing.
What Megan says is, when somebody has cancer, like Leanne, that's her husband's ex-wife, had cancer. I sit there with her at chemo, which, first of all,
why?
Who's the last person you want with you at chemo besides your ex-husband's new wife?
Yes, who's like young, hot, and really loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, and she was remarried as well and had two daughters. She didn't need Megan King Edmonds to come. Like, you know, Megan was pushing her way through.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, when you sat there with him through his chemo, how often did the nurse come in and check? Because I felt like our nurse didn't come in enough. Stuff like that just comes up. And you just chat. It's just something you talk about and you don't get defensive about. It's like, people, what the fuck are you talking about, Megan? People get defensive about real health stuff
constantly
all the time, or just don't want to talk about it. I just thought that was truly hilarious. So none of this is enough for Megan. And she gets the scan. She calls the doctor that the scan is from. Claims to be a cancer patient.
What?
No! She does.
She does
that's
that.
That's almost as bad.
And then she's like, can I get this certain treatment that Brooks claimed to be having? And the clerk was like, no, you should go to an oncologist for that if you have cancer. We don't treat cancer. So she did find out that the doctor he claimed to be going to was, in fact, not an oncologist and could not treat the thing he was claiming to have.
Wasn't
so
it?
So her instincts were correct. Wow. She is psycho.
Yes. She did it in the creepiest way.
Wait, didn't he say, and I only remember this because I'm now seeing it as an ingredient in facial products. He was having some resveratrol treatment or something.
I think you're right. Like Vicky and Brooks started by saying he was getting chemo, and then they kind of changed the story to be like, no, he's doing this experimental. It never added up.
Yeah.
Totally. And then, so Megan King Edmonds tells Shannon Bedore and Heather Dubrow this, and Shannon reveals that Vicky called her, this also makes no sense, immediately after Brooks' diagnosis, and for some reason, Shannon's like best friends with one of the best oncologists in Orange County or something, which like, what? Why? Like, why would an oncologist be hanging out with Shannon? I don't know. But
because she has an Irish accent sometimes.
Yeah. And it's fun to see what weight she's at on any given day.
Yeah.
The
given
only
day.
Woman, start, talk about that. Like losing 30 pounds in one day. Like Shannon can show up
that. I love it.
Looking any size.
I know.
It's truly great.
I love
that. Side note, yeah. How about last season, the edit of her on the bike? She's just like huffing and puffing. Do we remember this?
Yes. Yes.
I loved it when they were on the obstacle course and she's like, ah, guys. And they're just screaming. And then Vicky's like, my fingers. Oh my God, I rewound it and laughed so hard.
They can be the funniest sometimes.
It was
sometimes.
Like the first episode of last season.
So yeah, Shannon is best friends with a lymphoma doctor.
You know, as you
sure.
She's able, she claims that she stopped what she was doing and dropped everything all day, made calls to this person, which makes no sense. How much time could you even spend doing that?
Yeah.
5 minutes. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, but also you leave a message. And you
yeah,
say,
she
back.
Got her in. She got Brooks in with this doctor. But then Brooks never followed up.
Oh,
so that's
right.
Suspicious as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have cancer, you probably want to, like, you know, stop it.
Make the call.
Go
you make
to
the
doctor.
Follow up.
Yeah.
You want to follow up.
You make the call. So that is starting to question things. Then it turns out he never was treated at City of Hope, which I guess is where Megan called, even though Vicky, this is where Vicky gets implicated. Oof. Because Vicky claims she was there too. And he never was there.
Did she Instagram story it though? I feel like these housewives are constantly like social meeting every moment that they do. So that would, I don't know if Instagram stories were out yet, but that would have been before. Like my red flag.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, but you didn't post anything on social. Popular.
And you're right. Now it's going to be easier to track them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because people love to be like, look, feel bad for me. I'm here. And like, yeah.
But then, see, this is the big question. Because Vicky finally has to confront Brooks, and Brooks admits that he forged the documents.
When does this happen? Because I remember a reunion where she was defending him.
Well, this is the thing. Her story is never really consistent. I've now read things about what I've read Brooks. Brooks has a pretty consistent story now. I don't necessarily believe it, but he has like a chronology that makes sense from his own life.
Yeah.
She, and he defends her actually. So his claim is he did have cancer.
Okay.
But that he asked, actually I will say, okay, don't know. Then he says he asked Vicky to never say anything about it on the show and she did. Completely believe.
I believe that.
Oh yeah, I believe.
Completely believe. He says that he only forged the documents to get everyone off his back. Which that starts to sound weird.
That's sketchy. Yeah.
He still claims he had cancer. He's never addressed what the treatment for it was. And he says he's okay now. And he says Vicky, he also though says Vicky never knew anything about the lie. And that just doesn't quite add up to me.
Because she's smart.
She's smart.
She also works for insurance. Like, doesn't she know, like, the diagnosis code?
She has her own business. That's the thing. She's smart.
You'd think she'd be following up with him on that end of things, if not anything else.
Well, I heard that they had great sex and that she was really in it for the sex. So maybe she just was good. Really focused
it
on that
seems
one.
Seems like
thing.
It. Yeah.
I mean, good. That's
here's,
great.
Here's my question, though, and I did not see this. This is like very, you know, I could be completely off. But if Sue, you just said that he had a face cream that he had mentioned, could it be that he had like a skin cancer and that he was treating it because they removed something? Because you can have skin cancer. It's technically cancer, but it is a growth or an abnormal cell that you then cut out and remove.
Well,
so he could have had that.
So they were saying he was getting experimental treatments with resveratrol, which was like
what
this new thing. 5 years ago or something, but now I don't know that he was getting treated with a face cream, but I'm just saying now when I go to Target or something, some face creams are like with resveratrol. Like that's an ingredient.
Well,
now.
He did say it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So
because what I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out his mental leap when he's like, look, I had a skin cancer scare. Let's just call it cancer. And what's the one? I think it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That's like what I can think of.
Yeah, it could totally be. I don't think he had cancer at that time, though he's also said he had lymphoma before. I think I maybe believe that. I think he had cancer like 3 years before. Mm. For whatever reason, it made sense to him to have. I think he wanted to pull away from the show and pull Vicky away from the show.
Was he like possessive over her?
he was a scammer.
Yeah, he wasn't super possessive. It was more just that he was getting criticized constantly by all these women on the show. And he wasn't like a showboaty guy.
You're putting women down, you say to beat him up, you don't want to be criticized.
No.
It doesn't work for you.
And he's not the kind that, like our Real Housewives of Atlanta fellas, that they love that camera. He wasn't like that.
In Jersey,
so I think he, in Jersey and Atlanta, those boys want to be in the show. But he wasn't really like that.
But he did love her money. Like, she bought him teeth.
Yes.
So she bought him teeth?
Yeah. She made him get his
teeth?
Like, veneers. She bought him veneers.
Oh my God.
For sure. I think he liked the money, and I think he liked the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And he didn't have – he was living –
Was he poor?
Yeah.
He felt like he'd lost money. That was my feeling, is that he'd once had it and had nothing now.
If you've listened to Dirty John, it seems like a very Dirty John situation where he's like charming and like just a con man.
Mm-hmm. And he has like four adult children that don't speak to him, which is always the
That's
biggest red
flag.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think like he was based in the South and it was just like fun to have like an OC house where like he could go and like pal around and like.
And feel really luxurious.
So I think he lied about being sick to kind of pull her away and it just backfired in a crazy way. I think she maybe didn't know at first. Like, I don't think she was like sat down with him and was like, let's pretend you have cancer. I think that was on him. But I think she probably was smarter than Teresa. She's going to have suspicions, but in a similar way, she's not going to like
not going to go there.
Ferocious denial.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ferocious denial.
Ferocious denial.
I have a question though. Yeah. Do you think that for Vicky, because you were talking about how like she wanted everybody to like give her attention, she was kind of jealous of them. Do you think that she mainly from this wanted the sympathy and the focus
yes.
because of the cancer? And to her, the cancer didn't matter. She was more hurt if people didn't take her seriously.
Yes, I think 1,000% you are correct. And I think that in her mind, she was like, this is a story with no downsides to me. No one can criticize me, which actually, yeah. you know, like completely backfired.
But yeah, I mean, if she's probably like, people are like, but he doesn't have cancer, but she, I feel like she's arguing, yeah, but you need to treat me like as if he did. Like, you should treat us with kid gloves as if we did.
Like, and there's something she's not wrong about. Like, mm-hmm.
if someone was sick, you'd want to be nice to them.
Yes. And if, like, I mean, we've seen it even Tamara now. Her husband has health problems, and they're all like, I don't know if Eddie really has a heart problem. What do I know?
He's like, he is in the house, but you're seeing him like have like a live transplant.
And
they're like, who can you trust?
But they don't, they treat her nicely. Like, they, there is something about Vicky that people were quick to question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess because she was lying. But yeah. I also kind of get her mentality that she is treated differently. So Megan King Edmonds and Jim Edmonds have a confrontation with Brooks and Vicky wow. about the lying.
Couple.
My favorite thing that was uttered by stupid Megan is like Vicky's like, why are you questioning me about cancer? Like, why? And this is what Megan King Edmonds says. I will continue to ask questions about cancer until there's a cure. So she actually believes that her investigations are going to maybe lead to a cure for cancer.
Or it's
cancer.
Like side by side, like just as hard, just as a struggle. Like you are figuring out those like molecules and cells and trying to cure cancer. And I'm trying to like get some information.
It is crazy. But ultimately they break up Vicky and Brooks Ayers. Brooks does a tell-all with Andy Cohen and he says Vicky was not in on any cancer scam or created storyline. There is no scam. Vicky never has paid me to be quiet regarding this supposed scam, nor has paid me to release any statements. And then actually it's funny, he met someone else. She lives in Indiana, my home state. Shout out. He's moved there and married her. And it's very funny to me that like he just lives wherever his new girlfriend is.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be there.
I mean, he doesn't have a job. He's just scamming, cancer scamming.
Wow.
Now, oh, that's so great. So, but I remember hearing from like other podcasts and friends that Vicky had crazy sex with him. Like the sex was great and that was like a big.
She always said that, but some of those housewives.
I mean, everything's an exaggeration.
With their lot, like their sex stuff is always
strange to me.
It's very
defensive to me. It's always like, look, I still have sex.
On New Jersey, the reunion, they're like, how many times a week? It's like 7, 8 million. It's like,
no, you
calm don't. Down.
No, it's
on.
Not real. And it is very defensive. But I remember everybody was just that. And because I didn't see it.
They just seem to have a more palpable connection than her and her current boyfriend. Like, it just seemed like, you know.
Steve Lodge.
Yeah, Steve Lodge.
Steve Lodge. He's not a liar, but he's very boring.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing she's downgraded to a friend this season, which upsets me because I feel like even if she's boring sometimes, she gives it her all.
She's the OG of the OC.
She gave us this fake cancer scam, which really is a delight to me. I knew I wanted to talk about this because I know all of our lives.
No one died during it.
All of our lives have been touched by cancer, but there's something about this. It brings me a smile to my face thinking about this cancer scam. It's just
this
like, it's a stupid idiot.
The delightful cancer.
Yes.
You know, if you can get a laugh out of cancer, get it.
Get it, Brooks.
Oh, that's so funny.
And good luck to Megan King Edmonds on finding a career.
I know. I look at her differently now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at her differently. Like, I love her little Girl Scout try.
It's very Girl Scout.
Mm-hmm. It's very Girl Scout.
Love.
Thank you, Caitlin, for this detective work.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
We're covering Sue Scam.
Yes. You guys, I'm here to talk to you about a little couple called Dorit and PK from Beverly Hills.
Thank you.
Yes.
Are you familiar with this couple? Do you guys both watch Beverly Hills?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Okay, so Dorit and PK are scamming us into thinking that they are rich English people, and they are not. Okay. So
okay.
PK is scamming us into thinking that he is a successful music manager and he's maybe not. Okay. So Dorit and PK. PK, first of all, his full name is Paul.
This is good.
Zeitel Kemsley. So PK is just short for Paul Kemsley.
Yeah. And sometimes they call him PK Kemsley. And it's like, no that.
This is his initial.
Yeah. So
like okay. Sir Restaurant.
Sexy Unique restaurant. Yeah, exactly.
Sir Restaurant.
So and my sources are Wikipedia and of course the Daily Mail.
I love it.
So he is an English businessman, best known as a property developer and a former vice chairman of the Premier League football club, Tottenham Spur. Oh. So
that's always interesting when they've had a real job.
Yeah.
And that's like pretty, it's a big deal.
Yeah. So he was in real estate development and then he worked in soccer. And then I think he came to America to work for the New York Cosmos soccer team. Yeah.
Interesting.
Which, who knew? Nothing to do with music whatsoever.
And never mentioned anything about soccer throughout his
life. I've never seen a soccer ball in that house.
No, nope.
Did not know there was anything athletic happening in
there.
Oh,
no.
No, certainly not look like an athlete.
Doesn't look like an athlete. The house doesn't look like any form of exercise is done.
Yeah, no. They're, nope. Okay, so he left in 1984. He left school at the age of 17 to work in real estate. So he like got his start young, didn't go to school, mm-hmm. wanted to be like, you know, hotshot right away.
Who needs school?
Yeah, who needs school? You just need to scam people. So he lost. Okay, so in real estate, he lost a bunch of money in the market crash in 2008 and 2009. His mm-hmm. real estate stuff lost a bunch of money, and he was fined £500,000.
So this was in England.
In England, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he's friends with some like high flying people in London. And he becomes a shareholder in this soccer team, the Tottenham Spurs. And then mm-hmm. he becomes one of the interviewers slash advisors on the UK edition of The Apprentice.
Wow.
Which we know, like, anyone who is like a judge on The Apprentice is probably a scammer, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It says Kemp.
Who was the host? Do you know?
Great question. I don't know. It just says interview. But didn't get that far with that research.
I know what you mean, though. Like one of the people that sits at that table with.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Like Ivanka. So he had a successful property deal in 2006 and he sold it. He bought something for $40 million in May of 2006 and he sold it within 5 months to a former Russian government minister for £72 million. So,
wow,
a profit of $30 million
in 5 months to the Russian government.
To a Russian government. That's okay. That's odd. Crazy. Yes.
In 2000.
So the I mean, we're supposed to believe he made £30 million.
Yeah.
On this,
and
that's like $45 million.
Is this real?
That's insane. Yeah.
Or did he just claim it?
No, this is real. It, yeah. This is real. But okay, mm-hmm. so in September, or in 2008, his personal wealth was estimated at $180 million. So he is like a real guy, yeah. However, in September of 2008, he placed a series of large bets that doomed U.S. bank Lehman Brothers would recover. And in May 2009, the bank, he was liable to pay a margin of $2 million. Whatever. He lost money from Lehman Brothers in 2008. In 2012, wow. he filed for bankruptcy, and he lists,
yep,
as you do, and he listed his expenses at $34,000 per month and his personal debts as $10 to $50 million.
Wait, 10 to 5 0?
Yes,
is that what you said? 50?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Wait, so he had, at one point, he had like 100?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he was in debt 50 million. And this is from
2008 to 2012.
Debts?
Yeah.
Is it like gambling, basically? Gambling debts?
So I think so, but the Wikipedia is not going into his like gambling in the UK. So, but I have more info.
I wonder what.
On his gambling in the US. Don't worry.
Yes.
Okay, great. So tell us about the gambling.
Done. In 2013, he moved to the U.S. after filing bankruptcy in the UK to kind of dodge things a little bit.
Yeah. A little geographic. Get out of there.
Yes. All right. So that's what I have on UK. Oh, he was married before to a woman and he has 3 grown children.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Before. He mentioned one once last season, and I could tell Dorit was not having it. It was like clearly like diverging from the storyline in her mind. Like, don't bring up your son.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea.
That is a psychopath woman who refuses to let her husband have any other children or any other life.
That is a whole theme of reality shows in general, and it's disgusting. And he just mentions like his son had a traumatic birth story with his ex-wife, and like you could tell Dorit was just like, we are not talking about
that. Is such a monster,
Gary or whatever the kid's name is. I don't know.
Your biological son that you do love, probably.
So he and Dorit got married in 2015.
Wow.
So this is all pretty,
that's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah. How old's their oldest kid? They must have had a kid right away.
Yeah. I think it's Jagger. I think he's only like 2 or 2.5.
Okay.
Right? He's pretty young.
Three or four.
Jagger, one of the most common Real Housewives names.
Jagger and Cruz.
Oh my God.
Jagger and Cruz.
Cruz.
Yeah, there's two Dallas Cruises.
Yeah, it's crazy. Don't name your kid Cruz. Okay. So he still had this debt in the UK, right? And these people from the UK that he owed to Star Sports, which I think is a gambling debt. He owed them $260,000.
Wow.
Came after him recently, and he said that the company can no longer sue him because they waited too long and failed to provide evidence to back up their claims against him. What? So he's just like, that's not my debt. That's way too long ago.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm not paying that. So he currently is getting sued by the Bellagio in Las Vegas because he has a $1.2 million gambling debt. So
wow.
I looked this up.
Wow.
Yeah, I looked this up, and like the Bellagio gave him something called a marker, which is a line of credit that you can play against. You can
right.
spend, so you don't have to carry around cash around the casino. And I went into like what a marker is, and apparently before you give one, you have to submit W-2s saying you have that money and that you could pay it back. So
yeah.
he must have had the money. But that's just so massive to me to like be gambling away $1 million that you have a line of credit with the casino. I don't know.
That's an addiction level. Like It has to be. Because there's nothing.
Yes, it is.
And it's something I don't, like, that is one vice I just don't have at all. Like, I don't care about gambling. But there is something that is addictive. Like, truly, people need help. And it sounds like, I mean, for $1 million.
Yeah. That runs in my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gambling and addiction runs in my family. But, like, yeah, it's that feeling, that incredible endorphin. Apparently with gamblers, like even if you win or lose, you still get that rush of endorphins.
Interesting.
So you could be, it's just the fact that your time is up and there's an immediate like result. And that fear is can be as good of a feeling as winning the jackpot.
Wow.
Yeah. And so people keep going.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, if you put me in a casino, I might not leave. I mean, it's like really hard for me. I start to get upset because I'm poor and I don't like losing money. But
sure.
there is that. Mm-hmm. I do have that thing in the back of my mind. We're like, well, maybe this one could win. Like, it's just,
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. I'm like, not that at all. I've been to Vegas and not spent one dime on gambling. Like, it has no interest to me.
That's amazing. It's really
I just like the bright
refreshing.
Lights.
I know. It is pretty. And the food and the free stuff.
Yeah. I like looking at things.
Yeah.
I'm
a child. Spend like $20. Yeah. Me too. I can spend like $20 and then if I don't win, I'm like, holy fuck, I just spent $20. I got to stop. You know what I mean? Like,
but
I'm just
$1 million,
too poor
but
it.
But what you're explaining makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And if you truly have the compulsion, like I'm guessing he does, it must be.
Well, casinos are also like the way, sort of similar to bars, like there's no real windows.
Right.
It's dark. It's seedy. Each thing, like I'm sure they map out casinos sort of like they map out a target, like where you walk in and it's like, oh, but come to this area and this is more fun over here. And they like, they wind you through like.
So, okay, I misspoke. So he owes the Bellagio $1.7 million.
Oh my God.
And he also owes a personal loan of $1.2 million. Couldn't find who that is owed to, but who gives a personal loan of $1.2 million? That's
Boy
crazy.
George.
Sketchy.
Does he work for Boy George?
So,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so the Bellagio is now, so he paid off part of his debt. He paid off like $500,000, and he said he was going to pay off the rest, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. So the Bellagio is now trying to seize their assets. And that's why they're trying to sell their business, which is awful. And Dorit should definitely not be living like she's Erica Jane and taking hair and makeup people on vacation with her, because she can't afford that.
Which
they could
business?
Use that in court. They could use, if they try to, they could be just like Teresa.
Which business are they trying to take? Like her bathing suit thing or his music management or what?
House?
She's still in debt. They're still in debt for her bathing suit thing. Apparently they like skipped out on a business partner for her bathing suit thing.
The most recently? Because I feel like she's had several iterations.
The previous
one. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
The previous one.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I was like, let me do some digging because I feel like his music management is a scam too.
Oh,
because like
yes.
once I read about his background, and his background isn't in music at all. It's in real estate and sports. Yeah. I was like, how is he a music manager? So his company is called Nixxi Entertainment, N-I-X-X-I.
No, bad.
And the only and I Googled it because, like, as an actor, you get used to, like, Googling businesses to find out if they're real, like, if they're real agents or whatever who want to represent you. So I Googled it, and I tried to figure out if it's real business. Nixxi Entertainment has no website. They have no online presence at all, except on LinkedIn, the employees are listed as PK and some girl in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Wait, they don't even have a website?
They don't have a website. They only, I Googled so much, and they're only listed as managing Boy George, and they're now managing Culture Club.
His band.
He's been managing Boy George since 2014.
Fabulicious has a website.
I mean,
I know, the only footprint, the only proof of existence I could find of Nixxi Entertainment was that they do have a suite in an office building in Beverly Hills. So that's the only proof that it's real. I feel like it might be a scam. How much is Boy George really making? Do they have any income?
That has seemed...
They're not real Beverly Hills wealthy people. They're scamming us into thinking they are, and that is something I'm not happy with.
Since day one, the idea, like, I am Boy George's manager, as if that's a full-time job.
And the thing.
Is crazy. Like, if there are artists on one hand you could name who have one, like, a manager. Like, you could be Elvis's manager. That could be your one job.
And he's dead, and you could still be his manager. Like, he's...
Like, that's going to bring in enough
still
income.
Making a lot. Yeah.
Boy George, even at his height, you couldn't just have 10% of what he has and been, here's my luxurious house.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that. It is crazy that they, to me, that was the most Emperor's Has No Clothes moment, that no one else, like Lisa Vanderpump, wasn't like, well, what else do you do? Because that'd be like, a couple hours a day, and then what else?
Yeah, or so, one day a month. Like, because I don't know if he's touring regularly. He's not coming up on
my
info.
I mean, we love him, but it's not busy.
Well, yeah, so the way managers make money is they take 10 to 20%, depending on the manager, of your profit, of the artist's profit. So you have to be managing a lot of clients to actually be making money and making a living. So if you're managing Boy George and he's not working, you ain't making anything. Like, that's how it goes.
If he's doing your party, you're losing
your birthday party on the money.
And he's living in your pool house or whatever. Oof. Like...
I mean, I can't wait till Boy George's tell-all interview about this, like, what's really been happening. I love him. If he's pulling a scam on them, I love it.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
What if PK...
Think, like, maybe he and Boy George have business together.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Like,
or what if they're in love?
I
what
wish.
If they're in love? Because look how uncomfortable PK is, and they're very weird, you know, with Dorit. Maybe he's, like, in love with Boy George. Also could father children, but, like, is in love with Boy.
If that's their family unit, I love it. They're in a throuple.
Great.
They're sexual between PK and Boy George.
I think.
It's perfect.
I'm here
emotional
for it.
Between Dorit and Boy George. And business between PK and Dorit.
They love each other. They all love each other.
Can I say, and there's been controversy around their house, right? Whether they really own their house.
Also,
or...
their house is disgusting looking. If you look at it, it's the... a death trap for a child.
Katie, their house and something about it twists my stomach. Like,
yes.
There's a feng shui way off.
Yes.
The exterior is just stairs that go to a garage.
So
it is so creepy, you guys. So what it is, it's on one of those, like, Hollywood hills where it's sort of, you see a very extreme down, like, hill that, like, swoops to the right. And then inside that little, like, butt of the hill is this house, and the house looks like it's going to teeter and fall off, and it also, like, isn't symmetrical looking,
not at all,
and it looks like a little house that, like, you play it, like, you'd get a toy, like, to do, like, a pretend little model world, and then it will fall over.
It,
like, it
sickening.
Looks like it's about to tip over, and I do think children will die going up those stairs.
Watch out.
Oh, yeah. I have a source. Jagger. According to a report, the home, which was purchased in September 2016, it actually has multiple owners and isn't solely owned by PK and Dorit.
Weird.
like an Airbnb.
That's the weirdest version. If you just said they're renting it, well, then they're just renting it. No, but to co-own it is the strangest.
Is it the Russian government? Like, is this
the Russian government?
That I can't get out of my head.
The sport of soccer co-owns it.
It says years ago. It says it's a joint venture with nightclub tycoon Sam Nazarian, who reportedly bought the 8,000 square foot home for $6.5 million through a trust. What?
Wait, that do you think Lisa Vanderpump is one of the part owners? Because they're all acting like there's this like weird connection.
Interesting.
And they always say they love Lisa. Mm. I don't know.
This is a guess based on what you've said, the allegation I'm going to throw out there. You said he was VP of Tottenham. Like, that's pretty huge. I bet he was betting on sports, and that's why he lost his jobs at sports.
Yeah.
Because you cannot do that. Because he probably, it seems like he was actually well-established in that world, and I bet he brought himself down with that.
Because you're not allowed to bet.
If you work for those things, you can't bet on sports. And I bet he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm accusing and alleging. Don't sue
That's
me.
What we do.
Don't sue me, PK. I love you.
Guys, we're not experts. We're just doing this for fun.
I'm just joking around, PK.
We love to make
I love you.
PK, come on the podcast. Defend yourself.
PK, I'd love to talk to you about your older three kids. Unlike Dorit, I'd love to hear about them.
Oh, we would love to talk about your
kids. Yes. PK,
please.
For sure.
Oh, God. I have a feeling they're like 30 years old, too. Because he's like 50. I bet they're not like 18. I bet they're 30.
They're old.
And I will meet them and date them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm married, but it's fine.
Yeah, but I guess we'll do the threesome again. But PK, for his birthday, when Dorit sang the terrible song, his parents came and his brother came, and he like cried so hard. That's when I cried. I really don't cry during Housewives because it just, all of it is so gross to me. But I burst into tears.
That was sweet.
It's interesting. All the men we've talked about that are scammers, everyone has like some certain vulnerability. PK could get to me. Like Brooks Ayers, I don't want to be in the same room with ever. Mm-hmm. Joe, I don't think I'd fall for his stuff. PK, I'm kind of like, that's charming. He's British and he's crying.
Yes.
Cool.
That was the only moment that I liked him is when he cried. When
Joe Gorga gets to me when he cried about his daughter growing up. Like, that's these puppy dog scammers.
I like PK way more than Dorit.
Oh yeah. Dorit, this is what drives me crazy about Dorit. So it is clear that PK is scamming. Dorit just seems like, so PK, I feel like, is a scammer, but also a gambler, and you can tell he has some sort of business experience. Like he got to this sad place, but because he had done a lot of business growth and scams and schemes and sort of his brain's going. Dorit just looks like she's acting like she deserves everything. She's like, but I want to be a part of it. And she's that's why I don't like her scam, is because there's no like hard work throughout her timeline.
And the bathing suits, were they good? I don't know.
I
they're
hate
fine.
The way they do the
I would never wear any. They're so tiny. I would
guess
never.
They're fine.
They look so
gross.
Uncomfortable.
Well, because they cut your butt in not like a cute little
cut
Brazilian butt way. They cut your butt. And
your butt.
It's in like a midway.
And she, though, was smart to name them after her castmates. That was smart branding.
Yeah.
There's like a
Kyle.
Yeah, there's like the Kyle, the Lisa.
That's really smart. I bet that was PK.
It actually exactly was. I think there's even a scene of him thinking of
well,
that.
Well, he changed the name,
he named
too.
The company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, to what is it? To like Housewife Beverly Beach.
Beverly Beach. So bad.
Which is so funny because there's no beach in Beverly Hills.
There's no beach there.
But this is kind of a problem I have with Beverly Hills, the franchise in general, is it does almost cost too much to be in it. If that makes sense. Like, I like the randos that kind of hang around like Atlanta and Orange County, and sometimes they make a lot of money eventually, but they kind of start humble sometimes, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills, it's just a different show. You just have to pay up to get in.
I think that's the same with New York. New York and Beverly Hills, you have to be loaded to be in.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, like in Dorit's first season, PK bought her a Rolls Royce for her birthday.
The Rose Gold.
Was it a Rolls Royce?
Something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was a car, a fancy car. And it's like and then like last season she wore gold leaf in her hair.
Right.
Like, you guys can't afford this. You're scamming us.
I know. That's why I think Lisa is my theory is that she has some money in that house. I think she feels that she owes a huge debt to Lisa.
And she knows PK from something back in England.
So here's the other dark thing I think. Okay, so everybody's saying PK and Lisa, they have these conversations like, well, you don't know from the old days. And they talk about the old days in London when they were all together. I think PK either borrowed a lot of money from Lisa Vanderpump and that's why he's in debt because he's a gambler. Or when Lisa cried about, now this is really dark and... guys. So her brother? Don't come after me. Yes, when her brother committed suicide, yes. And she said that he has had like multiple times throughout his life really depressed. I wonder if PK one night saw him and like helped him or something. Because I mean, there's those things.
Friends with
something.
His brother.
And there's something that maybe she doesn't want to like air out all of her laundry or to like, now that her brother has passed, like to shame her brother. But there's probably something, they were all rich kids together. There's probably some party where those connections you don't forget and you don't lose.
Okay, I have two things. So in my Googling, I found the press release for Dorit joining the show, and she's listed as Lisa Vanderpump's designer.
Wow, that really never.
Where's the evidence of that?
That really never materializes.
I wonder. I know. Did she come in the first season to be a designer?
I don't remember. I don't know.
That wasn't a storyline in the first season.
I don't think so.
So, Kate, I just did some Googling and I found out that his debt in the UK was to a company called Star Sports, which is a sports betting company.
Caitlin,
that's what happened.
I'm, you know, look, not accusing, just questioning, just questioning. I'm Megan King Edmondsing, just questioning till there's a cure. Questioning till there's a cure.
Caitlin is a writer, you guys. She knows stories.
Yes.
She's smart.
And PK, I'd love to work with you on your life story. Let's do a Lifetime movie.
Do you need a ghostwriter? Caitlin's really good.
Let's do a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
The PK.
The PK story.
So and what's their age difference? Like 10 years or something?
Let me look.
It's nothing crazy, but
no, she's in her 30s.
What? Come
yes,
on.
Yes, dude. Yes.
What age is she?
It's like that Camille.
She's
thing.
42.
Okay, Camille's he's like 51.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. He looks. Oh, wait, because that was his 50th birthday party, that big one.
Yes.
Wow, he looks horrible.
He looks way older.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He and looks... she is. Oh, her Wikipedia does not say. Hold on.
Google to read age.
She's 1976, so that is 41. Somebody said 42.
That's good. Like that, she looks awesome, and she's 42.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't like when they like lie, and then it's like, well, for 29, you look like shit. Why are you saying that?
Yeah,
like Kim Zolciak.
Kim Zolciak, number one. The fact that she is alleging that like in years she would have been a senior when I was a freshman is unconscionable.
Insane.
To me.
Unconscionable. Although her children look like senior citizens.
Even Ariana, bummer. Yeah.
Also, wait, Jax has to be 56, and he says he's
Jax
39.
Is disgusting.
I think he is repulsive.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jax. Vanderpump, guys. We just did Don't Be Tardy for the Party. That's Kim Zolciak. And now Vanderpump Rules is Jax, one of those
Keep
characters.
Up.
But they're all over the place. But they're all on the Bravo network.
But also PK being 51, I'm like, yeah, it's just a hard 51. I bet he's got
a lot of hard life.
British
pub 51.
That speaks to maybe he had some connection to Vanderpump brother. You know, we don't know.
I know. See, there's something what's so crazy is like, I don't mind that they have this unspoken bond. Like that to me is probably the most endearing with like the crazy Lisa Vanderpump and Ken who's tottering around. He's always looks like he's about to tip
Ken,
over.
And his last name is Todd.
Ken, oh, really?
Ken tottering around.
Hey, guys, welcome to Ken Tottering Around. We're taking requests live.
She is 58. I'm Googling. So she's older.
Pump?
But her face is.
No, she's older.
Vanderpump?
I think she's more
Vanderpump is 58.
Looks amazing.
I know. She could be older.
And he's quite old, right? Todd. Ken Todd. He's like 70 some.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's got a son that's like 50. He has a son that's not. Yeah. He's like a teen dad.
Yeah. Well, he also apparently was like a big playboy and then he settled down for Lisa Vanderpump.
That's definitely her narrative.
I know.
That's
definitely
her narrative.
I really loved it. It was adorable. Oh my God. So I don't think, I don't need to know whatever their story is, why PK and like why PK and Lisa are so connected. I think it's sort of endearing and I like that.
I do too.
There's like childhood friends, you know, and like shit. I don't know. The first time people, you know, you ever drink a beer with and you'll never forget.
But it is like, where is this going? Like they're maybe faking all of their wealth stuff to what? Like they don't have like a skinny girl margarita yet thing to make money off of being on this show. So what's
it
all
for? I think it's for the show.
Yeah,
I think he and Dorit are fame crazies.
Yeah.
And he is, his fame crazy is probably spurred by his gambling addiction, like as much money as they can make on the show. I think she is fame crazy. And I think that, she just has nothing there for me. Like she is the chameleon to me.
Yeah.
Like she will be from, when she became friends with Erica, all of a sudden she had this like beautiful studded Gucci top in the testimonials. And I was like, that is beautiful. Like she did hit the nail on the head. Like she does have a weird British fake accent. Like, she does like latch onto something strongly.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I have some facts for you. Ken is 15 years older than her.
Wow.
And Lisa, Ken's older son is a like very successful London property developer.
Oh, good.
So maybe that's how they know PK is through like real estate property too. Shit in London. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
If anyone has any intel on this connection or and their scam life, please let us know.
But I also have a theory that the reason that Lisa is so mad at Dorit is because she sees the fakeness. Mm. Like, I think she sees like the sadness that in PK of his gambling addiction. Like, I think she has a soft spot in her place for like puppy dog men who are doing wrong and then apologize. She does hate women that are wrong. Like, I think she does not like women. And so I think she doesn't like Dorit. And so with all of this, she's trying to make Dorit feel like shit, but keep her relationships.
Right. And as has been pointed out on Vanderpump Rules, she hates Kristen, but she will help Jax and James Kennedy try to redeem themselves.
Right, who both have had exactly like Christian crazy drinking problems, been horrible at work, hysterical, treated her terribly.
They're all three exactly the same. They've all slept together too.
Yeah, they've all fucked each other. And she doesn't like the woman.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
There's no puppy dog for her.
It's interesting.
I was going to say, and she treats Kyle Dorit so differently. Yeah. Like, when she's mad at Kyle, she'll, like, rip into her. When she's mad at Dorit, she doesn't say a word.
Yeah, she just stops so speaking. It's very weird.
It is weird.
So I don't think Lisa Vanderpump likes women. I've said it here.
I want this PK drama to come more to the forefront.
I do, too.
Doing all the research, no one's connecting the threads. And I tried.
Lisa Vanderpump's hiding it. She's an executive producer, hidden. Right?
That's true. All these threads aren't being connected.
The only person that will go in and do the work is Rinna. And Rinna and Dorit get along pretty well, right? So she's not going to go after her. But if they had a falling out, Rinna would find all this real quick.
You know, we need Megan King Edmonds.
We need Megan King Edmonds to move about 2 hours north.
Yeah.
Cure cancer.
She needs
after she's
job.
Done curing cancer, she'll be like, what is going on with this addiction issues?
Yeah,
I'm going to solve that too.
He's got to ask questions until a gambling addiction is solved.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much, Caitlin.
Oh my God. This has been the best day of my life.
This is so fun. So tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Caterade. And I do a monthly live show called We Stand Together at UCB at Subculture. The next one is March 24th at 11 p.m. So please come out.
That was my favorite show. It was so fun.
Yes, Katie did our show. She told us about how she wanted to have sex with a garden.
Yeah.
You'll get all kinds of pop culture content and real, raw,
real
sexual
feelings.
Emotions.
Yeah. Don't you just need
Sounds
to fuck
amazing.
A garden? Yeah.
Shout out to Lauren Brickman, my co-host.
Yes, shout out to Lauren. She's not feeling well today. We miss her.
I just want to say that it sounds like painful to fuck a garden.
Oh, no. It's like just soft soil. It's beautiful. Actually, she'll also convince you. Dick.
She'll convince you.
It's like
you
kind of have a dick and you can use your hands. It's like complicated.
Oh,
I have
soft
a PowerPoint
soil.
Presentation. Yeah.
Soft like soil, not a rose
fresh
bush.
Soft soil. No, just like fresh soft soil, really irrigated, really lovely. What am I doing? I'll plug my book, Dangerous Boobies, written by me. And it's about my experience with testing positive for BRCA and preventing breast cancer as best I can. And then what else? And then, guys, please call if you have any hot tips, like we kept mentioning, you can call the Hot Tip Hotline. Sue and I are obsessed. Really, it's just like we kind of fangirl out over your calls. And our number for the Hot Tip Hotline is 347-509-9414.
Oh, and you can find me on Twitter at SueSmith666. And if you, because SueSmith, I mean, that's taken. It's taken by an egg. If you can rate and review us on iTunes, that would be awesome. We love that feedback.
And at Kate Rodnick. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.